Isn't it good to know that God loves you? God will always love you, no matter what. God will always be there for you, no matter what. Our role here as a church body is to help encourage people with those same kind of messages. So no matter what someone else is going through, we can be there for them and proclaim good news to them that God will see them through. And how do we know that God will see them through? Because God has seen us through, right? God has seen us all through. And God has seen it in such a way to show his love to all of us. We saw it on the cross. God expressed his love and gave us forgiveness and mercy and grace and eternal life. And Jesus Christ, through all his ministry, performed so many miracles, some of which are not even included in the Bible because it would be too many to even begin to list. And if I were going to go around the room today and ask about how God has touched your life, we'd be here the rest of the day and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, correct? Especially the older you are, the more you can say, correct? So imagine what would happen if I started telling stories, right? Oh my, okay, needless to say. But it's important to remember and share those stories of who God is, because God is so personal. God is so individual. God touches each of us all the time and cares for each and every one of us individually and all of us collectively. And it's something people need to hear and begin to know, and for us to continue to teach others who our God is. God is love. And so that's what we want to begin to continue to express to each and every one of us. And we're living in a world right now where a lot of things are happening, are they not? There's a lot of grim news. There's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of murders. There's a lot of sickness. There's a lot of people that are being just eaten up by the things that life is putting at them. And there's so many people distressed and just depressed. And, you know, they've been overtaken by their problems and their concerns. And they don't know where to turn. And Jesus Christ saw that when he was on this planet, when he was walking around all the people. He saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. And he said, They're like sheep without a shepherd. They're so lost. They're so in pain and in sorrow. And he said, pray that there's more people to be there, to be their shepherds, to teach them and help them. So that's where we come in, church. That's why churches are like ours, have been developed and God has used us all these many years, so that for those people that can't seem to find their way out or have lost hope, we're here together as a group, all of us, to bring trust back to people, that they can trust God and that they can find hope in God. That's our mission, is it not? And that's how we can help people spiritually grow, because so many people are sitting in darkness this very day. So we're going to go to the book of Psalm 77. And it's, you know, what humanity is going through today is no different than what it was going through thousands and thousands and bazillions of years ago. People have had problems all the time and had situations and mountains on top of them and been in distress. And so we see in this particular psalm, it's a psalm of Asaph. Asaph wrote 12 psalms. Most of the other psalms were written by David. So Asaph was actually a musician, a singer. You can find him in the book of 1 Chronicles. He was at the first temple that David had, and he was also at the second temple that Solomon had. And music and how people were, they used poetry and music to lift up people's spirits, and that's what the Psalms became. So even though I don't know how this goes to music, and nobody worry, I'm not going to try to sing what the psalm is, so I'm trying to make this a nice service for everybody involved. Because I love you so much. But anyway, this is, you know, Asaph wrote this down, and it was a prayer and really a lament about the community at large. Because you'll notice he's here crying out to God, and he puts this to music, and it's something that he was bringing forth to God through that music as a way to uplift his feelings, but also to uplift the community. So that's kind of the background on that. And by the way, his name means who gathers together, who gathers together. So Asaph was a man who helped people gather together in community and worship God, go to God in the temple and pray to God. Because you'll find in the book of Chronicles, as Solomon dedicated that temple, he said, whenever I pray to this God, in this temple, God will hear from heaven. That was Solomon's prayer. So Asaph even sang at that dedication of that temple. Kind of cool, isn't it? So all of those of you that are in our praise band, by the way, or ever been in our choir, you're called Asaphites. It's actually a thing, so I'm not just making that up. Anybody who sings and brings forth the Spirit of God and sings it through psalms very often and cries out to God through music is someone that also ushers in the Holy Spirit for all of us today. So back to this psalm. I cry out to God without holding back. That's a thing. Whenever you're crying out to God, don't hold back anything. Let it all out. It's good for you. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I pray with my hands lifted toward heaven, pleading. There can be no joy for me until God acts. And I think he wasn't just praying for himself for the trouble he was in. He was praying for the trouble of all of his people. All around the world, that's who he was praying for, and that's who we're praying for even today ourselves. I think of God, and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. First paragraph. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. Anybody have one of those dark nights? Middle of the night, you can't seem to sleep. So many things are troubling your mind, all of the things that are going on, and you're there and you can't even sleep, right? And you can't even pray because your mind is everywhere about all the things, all the tragedies, all the things we're facing, and you can't even pray. And that's what Asaph is speaking of here. I think of the good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. So he's thinking about other times when God had moved and God had performed miracles. He's thinking of those, and he's thinking those things have ended. You see what's happening to Asaph, which also can happen to all of us? Sometimes when we're going through tough times, going through tough situations, when there are obstacles are in front of us, or we're totally overwhelmed and stressed to the max, and people around us are hurting, and people around the world are hurting, and we just feel such an overwhelming feeling of hopelessness, we get to that place where we think, when everything good has ended. We call that depression sometimes, right? In despair. We think as though there's no way out. And we have that feeling, that overwhelmed, sad feeling. That's what's happening to Asaph. I search my soul and I think about the difference now between then, when it was the good old days, when there's plenty of grapes on the vine, when things were prosperous, when everybody was happy, when everybody loved everybody. I don't even know if that day ever existed in humanity yet, but needless to say, when everybody got along and there wasn't any strife or division, there wasn't any labeling, there wasn't any conflict. Asaph knew a time like that, particularly there were times of peace for even Israel, right? King David knew that as well, and so did Asaph. So he's praying that, bring that back, that peace back. And then he begins to ask what I call night negative questions. Some of you might already have negative questions through the day too. But pretty often we ask ourselves the worst kind of questions at night. Am I right? Why is this happening? Why is God out to get me? What is everything? Where's all the good that used to be? You ever asked any of those questions, or is it just me or people that call me and tell me the questions they're asking? Oh, never mind. I'll leave you be. Has the Lord rejected us forever? Will he never again show me favor? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Now listen, if you ask a question like that, is that a true statement? If you ask a question like that, hopefully what's going to happen? I pray that you're going to twist that, right? Because his love endures forever. But sometimes you can feel like it's gone, right? You can think. See, the problem with this mind of ours, we can think things are absolute. We can think that things are over. We can think there's been a period put on the end of our life. But God is not a God of periods. He's a God of commas and exclamation points. But these are the kind of questions that Asaph was asking, not unlike the rest of us. Sometimes we have to tell the truth, right? So we can come out of that place and see the real truth? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be kind? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? Ooh, I can just imagine how this music went. Roar, right? That would definitely be a low-key kind of song, wouldn't it? But this is part of reality, is it not? This is sometimes where we are, is it not? This is sometimes where people are, is it not? Right. So we address that. We put it out there. We put those questions out there because they're real questions that people ask all the time. That's part of this human thing we do. And I said, this is my fate, that the blessings of the Most High have changed to hatred. Woo! Asaph. Verse 11, the key to this sermon. But then I said, and I recalled. But then I remembered. But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about them. How about that be what you have in the middle of your night? Even though you ask those kind of questions, I want to help your memory. I want to have you have your what I call a trust memory. Do you have a trust memory? You know what a trust is, right? It's something you put something into, correct? I mean, it's one of those things, especially when it relates to money, right? It's something for you to leave behind, right? You store things in it, correct? That's one type of definition of a trust. But what if you had a memory trust? What if every single time something good happened to you, you put it in your memory bank, your trust bank? Right here, right now, every single day, you put that in there. I remember when God did X. Anybody have a good memory that way? Please raise your hand. Please say there's something. Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful. They are constantly, constantly in my thoughts. Listen, if you will focus on all the good that God has done for you every moment of every single day, and if it hasn't been about you, it's been about other people too. If we could just flood each other with thoughts of all the miraculous things that God has done for us all. One, he saved us from death. He forgave all of our sins, right? We saw Peter walk on water, did we not? Well, we weren't literally there, but, you know, we know he's walked on water, right? Jesus raises the dead, right? Calls the blind to see, correct? Some of you are those people, are you not? Yeah. We need those kind of thoughts constantly. I cannot stop thinking about them. Oh, God, listen, watch the rest of the story. Here's how the song goes. It's really awful. Oh, God, all of a sudden, the crescendo thing. I don't know much about music, but whatever you call that kind of a thing in music, right? All of a sudden, you get the build up, right? It starts going higher, right? You got a cymbal crash. Yay! Oh, sorry. This is how the song, I'm sure this is how the song is going. And does it not lift you up? You're already feeling better already. You didn't like the dirge part of the song, this psalm, did you? I sure love the blah, 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 right? That's it. Yeah, woo! Yeah, right, beautiful. All right, we got a great choir in the room here today. Oh, God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of miracles and wonders. What happened to him from verse 11? What happens to him? He has a but then. He has all the negatives, and he asks himself those questions, and those questions mean nothing because they're not anything to do with the truth. But what God does and who steps in, he starts to help him remember and recall the good things. See, we have to have that switch all the time. And I know God, when we pray, brings up those things back to our recollection. Even if you don't have a great memory, if you can't remember names and things like that, you certainly can remember the things that God has done for you, can't you? Of course. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. You have redeemed your people by your strength. When the sea saw you, now he's going to talk all about crossing the Red Sea. He's bringing up scripture, is he not? The story of Moses, right, crossing the Red Sea. That came to his mind. Whenever you're in one of those funky places sometimes, in that dirge kind of place, in one of the part of the chapter, here's the thing. You got to keep reading too, don't you? And you got to keep thinking and allowing God to touch your mind and your heart. Because the story does go on. And God is going to bring back to your memory many of the messages, many of the stories. And that's why we read the Bible, Old Testament and New. Because there's so many great stories in there of God's victory, are there not? Uplifting things that you can see what God did for other people. But more than that, God has done an awful lot for each and every one of you if you were to really recognize it and speak about it and remind yourself of it. Write it down and look at it. Maybe you ought to put it by your bedside, all those miracles God has, have a little book of them by your bedside when the night comes and the enemy tries to come against you and cause you to doubt and fear and tell you how bad the world is and that it's all hopeless. You open up your little book and you go, yeah, but this is what God did for me, right? Think about those things. He goes on throughout this to explain how God led them across the Red Sea. And it said, verse 19, your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one even knew was there. That's how our God works. He's always got a pathway ready to open up before you. You may not see it. You may not know it. You don't even know if he's building the road for you. But I promise you this, even though it's invisible now, it will be visible later, just when you need to cross that thing over. To get to that breakthrough to that other side, that God has the miracle over here for you. But it's in the building of the road that he's doing in the process. Bless you. You led your people along the road like a flock of sheep with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. Now it ends right there. But I don't think it needs to end right there. See, I always like adding things to the Bible. There's other than the book of Revelation, it doesn't say anything about not adding anything. So I'm going to add my own little take on this for all of you. What I suggest you do is that you would say, what would you add to the end of this that God has done for you? What other phrases would you say? Okay, it's all great that, you know, they crossed the Red Sea and they crossed the Jordan and Jesus rose all these people from the dead, right? But what has he done for you? That's your ending to this song here, this psalm. And when you think about, you know, Matthew chapter 25, in that chapter where Jesus talks about when he comes back and he puts the sheep and the goats on either side, and he says, when I was hungry and I was thirsty, you all know that part of the scriptures, I hope. But needless to say, I'd like to take it and go further with it and say, when I was a stranger, Jesus, you welcomed me. So you take that same those same scriptures, Matthew chapter 25, you can find it there. I'll just give you the verses later. It begins at verse 31, Matthew 25, 31. But if you take it and personalize it and say, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was lonely, you were there for me. You see what I'm saying? So yes, Jesus is talking in Matthew 25 about what we're to do for others. Because when we do it to the least of these, our brothers and sisters, we're doing it for him. That's what the point of the story is. But at the same time, when we recollect and we write down what God has done for us and say to him, when I was alone, you were there with me. Those are the kind of things that will fortify you all the way into the future. So let's turn to the book of Acts, because I did want to kind of look at also one of the stories in the Bible where all hope seemed lost. And there's many of them. But this particular story, I love it because it's more than what the literal is all about. In the book of Acts chapter 27, I'm going to begin at probably verse 33. But I'll give you the heads up on it. Paul is on his way to Rome in a ship. He's actually in chains. He's going to go to Rome to actually be put against because of the fact that he was doing Christian work and so forth, and he was going there to, you know, go to trial. And so he's on this boat with all the other prisoners. And he's in the boat. And as they're leaving and heading for Rome, there's a huge storm that comes up. And the boat starts to come apart at the seams. And some of the sailors even want to bail out. They're ready to jump ship. And Paul says to them, no, you have to stay here. If you don't, we won't make it. So sometimes when the problem comes our way, some of us like to jump ship, right? Let me out of here fast. Well, if you jump out of the problem, sometimes you can land in a worse place, can't you? You know, firing pan into the fire. You've heard that? Out of the boat, drown. So we don't want that, right? Needless to say. So I'm going to begin at verse 33 because the story is going to be pertinent to what we were reading and hearing before. You'll see how there's a connection. At least I believe you will. As the darkness gave way to the early morning light, Paul begged everyone to eat. You haven't touched food for 2 weeks. That's because they were all so seasick. He said, please eat something now for your own good. So one of the things I know, and we saw this even in the book of Kings, when Elijah ran away from Jezebel and he's by himself, the first thing the angel brought to Elijah was some food. So food is nourishment. And so and the food that we feed on is what? The word of God, right? Okay, that's why I'm bringing it to you this morning. Then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them, and broke off a piece and ate it. Then everyone was encouraged. What is this he's doing? Breaking the bread, handing it out to the people. What we know as communion, correct? Breaking of the bread. Feeding people. We're seeing it in the literal, right? But see, there's ways to break up bread and feed people, is there not? If somebody's having a negative down moment, can't we just kind of break open some ideas about some positive things of encouragement to say to someone? About how God has worked in your life? Yes, of course. Then everyone was encouraged and all 276 of us began eating. So when you start reading, here's the other thing. You can break your bread your own self by yourself by breaking open the Bible. It kind of opens pretty easily, by the way. It's not really breaking it open. It's not like something you got a hammer or anything like that. You just kind of open it. There you go. It's pretty easy, actually. So you break open the Bible. You read the Word of God. If you don't find anything there that's encouraging, keep on reading. You'll find a story in there that is encouraging. Even if you start on a psalm that's pretty downer, you know, the music's not so great, the dirge is there, you're going to get to the da-da crescendo, aren't you? Because all the stories, everything that we see in Scripture always has a happy ending. Does, right? No matter what. No matter what. Oh, back to Acts, sorry. After eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. When morning dawned, they didn't recognize the coastline, but they saw a bay with a beach and wondered if they could go between the rocks and the ship safely to shore. They cut off the anchors and left them into the sea. Then they lowered the rudders, raised the foresail, headed toward the shore. But the ship hit a shoal and ran aground. Oh, it was doing so well until then. You ever have something in your life where, you know, you're starting to get a breakthrough, things are not so great, and you're starting to feel a little bit better, right? And then, boom, right? Am I right? You hit a shoal. You run aground. The end. The end? Very good. We're in the crowd today. Thank you. But the ship hit a shoal and ran aground. The bow of the ship stuck fast while the stern was repeatedly smashed by the force of the waves and began to break apart. You ever feel like that with your life? You ever feel like this ship? We're not talking about it literally, right? But you ever feel like you're getting beaten, battered, and that you're coming apart at the seams? Nobody besides me? Am I the only drama queen in here? I know I'm not. But it feels that way, right? Things are coming at you. You're almost seeing, oh, there's the shore. Bam! You ever get bammed by life, right? We all do, don't we? Is it the end? No, we're just beat up a little, right? The waves come and they break us apart, right? The waves of problems. Sometimes they come in waves, don't they? When Satan's on us, he isn't going to do just like a little bee sting. He's going to have a whole hornet's nest jump on top of us, right? To try to defeat us, right? Are we going to be defeated? Never. Beautiful. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners. to make sure they didn't swim ashore and escape, but the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul, so he didn't let them carry out their plan. Good thing. See how God intervenes right there? You see how God's in the midst of this? Even this bad shipwreck? Then he ordered all who could swim to jump overboard and make for land, and he told the others to try for a plank and debris from the broken ship. Here's the thing. If something breaks apart in your life, cling on to something that you can learn from it. Cling on to anything, which I say, this boat breaking apart, what were they clinging to? Hope, right? Hope. Cling on to hope for dear life. Never let it go. If it's only a teeny tiny splinter of a plank that's left, if all you got is a toothpick of faith to hold on to, or a toothpick of hope to hold on to, because hope and faith go together, aren't they? Not, they're interlocked, are they not? Right? Just cling to it at all costs, no matter what. Never let it go. If you ever lose hope, and I have my hope here over here, I've got so much hope that I can spare a good big plank of hope for you. Right? Well, we got a whole congregation full of hope, don't we? So there's plenty to go around, isn't there? When you cling, now I'm going to take this and I'm going to push it farther, deeper. When we're clinging to this, God makes a way for them to escape, doesn't he? He gives them a piece of wood, doesn't he? To hold on to make it to shore, right? We all have a piece of wood, don't we, that we can hold on to all the time, don't we? It's called the cross of Jesus Christ. We can cling to him, the very hem of his garment, if necessary, when we're going through difficult times, can't we? Of course we can. And watch what happens. Here we go. You want the last sentence? Are we ready for a crescendo? How about a drum roll? I did a drum roll last week. I'm kind of liking those kind of things. I'm going to kind of, it's like my new thing I'm going to try for a little bit for, new ways of preaching, right? And then we're going to have a crescendo. Because, they're almost going to drown here. The fear must have been intense, right? Right? The sailors were afraid of the escaping prisoners even, that they could be killed because they lost those sailors even. The prisoners, right? There's a lot of things going on. They're almost going to just crash and burn forever and drown in this water, right? But what happens? The last verse. So everyone escaped safely ashore. Ta-da! Do you realize that how many times you have escaped safely ashore in your life? I know for all of you and some of you, I've heard some of your stories and I've lived some of the stories myself. The fact that I've been saved by so many things that I even caused myself personally, God has saved me out of a lot of stuff. Amen. Oh, wow, you're really alive now. I see. Okay. The cross rescued us from death, even, did it not? The tomb was empty, was it not? Death could not hold Jesus, and it can't hold you and me. All it is a doorway to heaven. That's the next place. That's the next shore we see. Even we escape even death. Isn't that good news this morning? So, in conclusion, mostly. When people were near death, almost at the end of their rope, as it related to Paul, they were saved by God. Paul was in the midst. He was a believer in the midst of all those people. Do you see the importance of how you and I, as believers, need to be in the midst of other people's lives? That's why we as a church, we're finding ways to, however we can reach other people, to give them some hope to cling on to. to tell them about God's love, to tell them that God will lead them safely out of the situation that they're in. And even with everything that's happening in this world today, and it is awful, there's not even words to describe it most days, God will see us through. Why? Because he's done it before, and he will do it again. He's done it before, and he'll do it again. And he'll keep on doing it again, and again, and again, and again. That's the God we serve. That's the God of hope that isn't just a question of us having this hope without any results. We know that already we've had results in the past, have we not? We have to do what about those? Remember them. Now, I know it's hard when you're going through something to remember them. That's why you tell me your stories, so I can remind you of what you've told me of how God changed your life, because you told me about it and it was actually true. So I'm just reminding you. So I have to remember for me and for you. Don't you feel so sorry for me? No, because you know why? I get your memories and my memories too. Why do you think I have so much faith? I've only been here 29 years, and I've heard all kinds of stories. I've seen all kinds of miracles. I've watched people rise from the dead, literally, figuratively, emotionally, spiritually. I've watched people at the very end holding on to hope and belief and trust in Jesus Christ. And I've watched them go safely to shore. Over and over again for some people. Some of us are repetitive in terms of needing God. That's okay. Because I know God will do it again. You can never out-ask God or out-pray God. So when you're facing another mountain, if you're going through a tough situation, I want you to trust. I want you to say this. I will trust and remember and believe God will help me again, 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 and again. And as many times as I need it, he'll help me. Oh, sorry. That was supposed to be an ending. Thank you. Wow. All right. Please add to your memory bank. Please add to your memory bank of trust. And open it up, not only for yourself to remember, but to share with others. When you find someone who's without hope, you can see it. You see it on Facebook. People will say, I'm done. I can't go on anymore. I don't know why. No one cares about me. There's no reason for me to live. Somehow, some way, we need to be the ones to reach out to them and say, God will see you through this. He's done it for me. He'll do it for you. And he'll do it again. Amen.